'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord that could not be.
Toddsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, we read, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." That is one of four times in God's word that statement is made, "The just shall live by faith." It's found in the Old Testament, in the book of Habakkuk, in chapter 2, verse 4. It's found in Romans 1, verse 17. It's found in Galatians 3, verse 11. And it's found here in our text, "The just shall live by faith." What does that mean? There's no doubt it's of critical importance. God has it quoted in His Word 4 different times. What is meant by that statement, "The just shall live by faith"? I want to know, and I hope you want to know as well. The just shall live by faith. Now, I have 3 very simple points to this message. The first is the just. The second is shall live. And the third is by faith. And then in closing, I want us to go to the 4 different places where that is stated and see the emphasis in each different place. Now, the just. That's my first point. The just. This word is found 81 times in the New Testament. 41 times it's translated the righteous. 33 times it's translated the just. 5 times it's translated the right. And 2 times it's translated meet, the just. Now, do you know that there are only 2 kinds of people in this world? The just and the unjust. There's no in between. There's no intermediate. When God looks at me, He sees me as someone who's altogether just, altogether righteous, without sin, or altogether sinful, with no righteousness whatsoever. The just. There are 2 kinds of people in this world, the just and the unjust, the righteous and the wicked. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 49, we read the Lord's words, "So shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, where there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." The just, the righteous, who will spend eternity in heaven, beholding the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the unjust, who will spend eternity in that awful place called hell. We have no idea of how bad sin really is But God has made hell for every sinner to spend eternity. Now, if you wince at that, I understand. I wince at it too, but it's because we don't see things from God's perspective. Sin is an infinite evil, and hell is a part of the justice and judgment of God. The righteous, the faultless, those who have a perfect standing before the law of God. That's who's spoken of when it's talking about the just. They are righteous. That means before God's law, they have never sinned. It's what the Bible calls justified. You remember in Luke chapter 18, verse 13, that man who cried, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And Christ said with regard to that man, I say unto you, that man went down to his house justified, having never sinned. Now, how did these people get that way? Because the fact of the matter is I have sinned, and you have sinned. And to deny that would be just a complete lie. There wouldn't be any truth to it. So how can somebody like me or you who are sinful, I'm not talking about make mistakes every now and then, I'm talking about sinful, full of sin. I've never had a proper motive, I've never had a proper thought, I've never kept God's law once, not in its fullness and its spirituality. When I am nothing but sin, how can it truthfully be said that I'm righteous? And it's not an exaggeration. It's not God treating me as if I were righteousness when in reality I'm not. How can that be? Now listen to this scripture. Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Now let's stop there for a moment. What if a judge had a criminal before him that was guilty and said, I'm declaring you just? That would be unjust. That would be wrong for the judge to do that. We'd get rid of that judge. He has no business being a judge. So listen to the scripture. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. Now, how can that be? How can an ungodly man be just and righteous before God? How can that be? Well, let me give you another scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he, speaking of God the Father, hath made him, speaking of God the Son, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. He never sinned, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, the fact of the matter is, I have sinned, and God took my sins and he placed them in his Son. That's what happened when the Lord drank that cup in Gethsemane's garden. He was drinking the cup of his people's sins. The scripture says he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. God took the sins of the elect and gave them to Christ, and he became guilty of the commission of those sins. No, he never sinned in his own person. But when he took my sin, it became his sin. And the perfect, just, holy, righteous God gave him what sin deserves, and God killed his Son. God's no respecter of persons. God put to death his Son because of sin. Now, what about the fact that he knew no sin? What about the fact that he never sinned? That perfect righteousness that he worked out in his time here upon earth, just as he took the sins of those people and died for them, his perfect righteousness is given to his people so that it is actually theirs. God made a way to be just and justify the ungodly, so that every believer stands just before God. Now, the state we're in when we die, either righteous or wicked, is the way we will spend eternity. Listen to this scripture from Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now you and I are either going to die unjust, unrighteous, and filthy, and stand before God in our sins, or we're going to die righteous and holy. And how we die is how we will spend eternity. All of the righteous will be in heaven. David said in Psalm 17:15, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness." That's the future of every believer. All of the wicked, and I hope I'm saying this in fear, all of the wicked will be in hell. The Lord said the wicked shall be turned into hell. Now, how I want to be of this number called the just and the righteous. The just, the righteous before God. Oh, that's what I want to be. Let me die the death of the righteous and let my end be like his. The just. The just are those who are righteous. Righteous before God, justified by God. They stand before God without guilt because of the work of Christ in their behalf. Christ is all of their salvation. They get none of the credit for this. He gets all of the credit. The just, the justified. Oh, I want to be in that number, don't you? The justified. Here's my second point. Shall live. The just shall live. And this is not speaking of existence, but this is speaking of life before God. Eternal life. The life of God in your soul. Now let me read you a scripture from Revelation chapter, or Romans chapter 14, verse 9. We read, "To this end, Christ both died and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living." Now, does that mean that the Lord is the Lord of the people who are in their graves, already dead and no longer have physical life, and he's also the Lord of the people who have not died yet and are still alive? Well, he is Lord of all, but that's not what that's talking about. When it says he's Lord of the dead, that's talking about those who are dead in sins. When he talks about being the Lord of the living, he's talking about those who live by faith. They've been given spiritual life. Now, before we consider life, we got to consider this thing of being dead in sins. He's the Lord of the dead. Now, what does dead mean? They're not physically dead. Their souls aren't dead. They still think, they still talk, they still walk, they still breathe. What is this thing of being dead? Well, when the Lord warned Adam of eating the fruit, he said, "In the day you eat thereof, that very day, that very moment, you shall surely die." Now, when Adam ate of that fruit, he didn't die physically. His soul didn't die. But he died spiritually. And he's now dead in trespasses and sins. Now, what can a dead man do? He can't perform the functions of spiritual life. A dead man can't hear the gospel. A dead man can't love God. A dead man can't believe the gospel. A dead man can't exercise repentance toward God. He's dead. He knows nothing of these things. Dead in trespasses and sins. If I'm dead in sins, that means the only way I can be saved is if God sovereignly saves me. The only way I can have life is if God raises me from the dead and gives me life. If God leaves me to myself, I will die and go to hell because I am dead in sins. That's what the scripture says. Remember in Ephesians 2:1 when it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now this is one of the reasons why the idea of free will is just ridiculous. People try to present the gospel, well, it's up to you, up to an act of your free will. A dead man's dead. A dead man doesn't have a will. He's dead in trespasses and sins. If I'm dead in trespasses and sins, my only hope is for God to give me life. Now, the just shall live. This is the life of God in the soul where he gives you spiritual life and you live. You have your senses. You see the beauty of Christ. You hear the gospel. You feel his presence. You taste that he is gracious. All your spiritual senses are alive. You have life before God. The just shall live. Oh, the life of God in the soul of a believer. We were born of God. That's where the life comes from. Birthed into the kingdom of God. Of his own will begat he us through the word of truth. This is a supernatural thing. Only God can bring this about. The just shall live. Oh, what a glorious thing to live before God, to see his glory, to love him, to commune with him through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The just shall live. This is eternal life, that they might know thee. This is what the Lord said. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. The just shall live spiritual life. And here's the third point. The just, the justified, the righteous before God shall live by faith. Not by works, but by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, what in the world is faith? What does the Bible mean by this word, faith? The just shall live by faith. Simple answer, it's believing God. That's what faith is. It's believing God. It's not just believing in the existence of God. The devil believes in the existence of God. It's believing God. It's believing his word. The first time it's mentioned is in Genesis chapter 15, where God said to Abraham, when Abraham had no children, he said, "You see the stars? So shall your seed be." You're going to have that many descendants, more than can be counted. And the scripture says Abraham believed God. He didn't have any evidence other than the word of God. He didn't have any children. His wife was barren. But Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. What about in John chapter 4, where that man came to the Lord and said, "Sir, come down ere my child die." And the Lord said to him, "Thy son liveth. Thy son liveth." And the scripture says he believed the word spoken by Jesus. He had no evidence at that time that his son lived other than the word that the Lord said, and he believed the word that Jesus had spoken. Now, that's what faith is, without any evidence other than the word of God. Paul put it this way in 2 Timothy 1:12. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Now, Paul says, I've committed the entire salvation of my soul to him. If he doesn't do it all, there's no hope for me. I've committed it to him that on that day of judgment, I will be found without fault because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the writer to the Hebrews had anticipated the question that began in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I love his simple answer to what faith is. It's the substance. It's the ground of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that are not seen. What's my hope? Well, my hope is that on judgment day, I will stand before God without guilt, perfectly righteous, one who has never sinned. And I have a hope that everything that happens between right this minute and then is working together for my good and his glory. That's my hope. Now, what's the evidence of that? Faith. It's not something I can see. I can't see that I stand before God without guilt, without sin. I can't look into my heart and say, yep, no sin there. No, I see nothing but sin in myself. But I believe I stand before God without guilt, and I believe that everything is working together for my good, although I can't see how it is, but I believe it is because God said it. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the ground of things not seen. I'm relying on Christ, and this is what proof I have that this is going to be for me. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, like I said, this passage of Scripture is quoted four times in the Scripture. First in the Old Testament in the book of Habakkuk. We read in verse 4, chapter 2, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, what that lets me know is faith is completely contrary to human pride in any respect. The soul that's lifted up, swollen, with a high view of his ability and self-importance is not upright in him. That's wrong. Pride is the most ridiculous, groundless thing there is in the world. What do you have that you didn't receive? Who made you to differ from somebody else? Faith is opposed to all human pride. It looks to Christ only and nowhere else. It excludes pride. Where is boasting, Paul said? It's excluded. I can't boast in my salvation in any way. It's what God did for me. It's what Christ did for me. It's not what I've done for God. It's what he's done for me. I have no ground of boasting. He did it all. And it began back in eternity when I was given to Christ before the world began and Christ became my surety and took complete responsibility for my salvation. I have no ground for pride. Faith excludes human boasting. Now the second place the Scripture is found is in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, it's talking about in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. It's only faith that has the righteousness of God revealed to it. You know, if you're an unbeliever, you don't have any understanding of the righteousness of God. You just don't. You're dead in sins. But if God gives you faith in Christ, this thing becomes real to you, the righteousness of God. God's righteous. He'd be righteous in my condemnation. If he sent me to hell, he'd be giving me exactly what I deserve. But he's righteous in my salvation in the sense that he put away my sins. He gave me the righteousness of Christ. And now I see that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Faith apprehends the righteousness of God. Faith understands that promise in the scripture. This is the name wherewith he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness. Have you ever understood that? How that Jesus Christ is actually your righteousness before God. That's what faith apprehends. Now, the third time that this is mentioned is in Galatians chapter 3. Paul said in verse 10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. For the just shall live by faith." Faith is completely opposed. It's the enemy to salvation by works. Faith excludes salvation by works. Listen to me. You and I cannot be saved by anything we do. If it's up to us to do something before God can save us, we're toast. This is the conclusion. Faith is opposed to any part of salvation by works. The just shall live by faith, looking to Christ only and looking nowhere else. And finally, we have here in our text in Hebrews chapter 10, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We continue to live by faith. If we draw back from faith, if we graduate from faith, if we find something else, we find something bigger and better, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in that person. That person has never really believed. The just continue, they persevere by continually looking to Christ and nowhere else. The just shall live by faith. The just, those God has justified, the righteous before him, they shall live. God's given them life and they live. And the way they live is by faith only. Have you ever in your life looked away from everything else and looked to Christ only as everything in your salvation? May God give you and me the grace to do just that. The just shall live by faith.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.